and thank you for tuning in to the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peek. We are entering into November. The Marine Corps birthday is next Friday, just for those of you who don't know. 1775, my Marine Corps came alive, November 10th, in a tavern in Tun Tavern, Pennsylvania. There was, there's quite a history there. It's interesting because a lot of people have misconceptions about the military and about people who serve and service and whatever. And over the years, there's been different likes or dislikes of people in the military. And whether you understand it or not, there's a vast majority of Americans who served our military voluntarily. During which you take an oath to defend the country against forces, foreign and domestic. The domestic part is the big question mark of what does that mean? What does that mean for our future? Don't know. But basically, to me, it means take care of your neighbor, take care of your neighborhood, take care of your people. It's a vow. Be a protector. So, with Veterans Day, I would like to say happy Veterans Day to all my veterans out there. I appreciate every one of you in ways you would never fully understand, but probably do anyway. So, thank you. I want to talk about stuff I heard. Okay. It's been an interesting week. There's been some time on my hands to sort of catch up with a few things that I've been neglecting. First and foremost, I took a break from listening to podcasts for a while. I know everybody's like, wait, but you do a podcast. How can you take a break from podcasting? Well, that's just it. Like, you got to take a break from everything once in a while. You got to take a break from eating sugar or from eating too much red meat or eating too many vegetables. I mean, you got to take a break from everything, right? You can listen to politics and then have a certain point where you go, can I just take a break from listening to all this crap? Because you got to. Or you could have the exact opposite. You could go through a long spell where you don't pay attention to any politics and then you realize, oh, crap, I really need to pay attention because now these politics are starting to affect my life and maybe I need to be well-versed. We all have to ebb and flow in our lives to understand who we are, where we want to go, and what we're doing, right? Someone asked me about the war happening overseas, and I don't have to name a war. You could just say any war, okay? Any conflict happening overseas. Hey, what do you think about this conflict overseas? And my first reaction, being a fella who's almost 50 now, who served in the Marine Corps for our country, I would say, first and foremost, that it is a responsibility of people who can help other people to do so. It is also a very convenient distraction to take us away from what we need to be focused on. And if you ever watch House of Cards, you will see how distractions are primarily how the people in power stay in power. If we were not distracted by things like podcasts, like my podcast, like anybody's podcast, or anybody's musical life or tour, when we just focused on the people who were making laws and passing judgments and increasing our taxes and increasing our cost of living, and we actually talked about the things that mattered, like our budget, like where our money is going, how we're taxed on every dollar we make, when it comes in the door, when it goes out the door, after we've spent the dollar, then we get taxed again. If we would actually talk about how our earnings are only worth a third of what we actually make, then maybe the people who were in charge would be nervous. Maybe the people in charge would be replaced. Maybe policies would be changed, and the people who hold the money would no longer hold the money. But no, we like to be distracted. We love it, as a matter of fact. We just want to keep our heads down, do whatever we got to do to make it to the next distraction, right? Let me tell you about some distractions, because I'm guilty of it just as well. We got college football going on. We got pro football going on. And I can tell you that the place that I work, that is 90% of the conversations outside of what is work. It's their favorite team. It's how their favorite team is doing, where their players are going, how they're possibly betting on games and possibly betting on point spreads and situations like that. And for a lot of people, they need those distractions to even show up to work, because dealing with the day-to-day stuff is mind-boggling. The struggles that we go through as people is mind-boggling. The things that we have going on at home can be infuriating. This past week, on Halloween Day, we did celebrate Halloween. Happy Halloween, everybody. Joe Rogan did a podcast with Elon Musk. Two of the most fascinating people that I think are alive right now sat down for 2+ hours and had a conversation. Elon brought his Cybertruck into the studio. They talked about how awesome of a machine it is and how very difficult it is to mass produce anything. And Elon went on to talk about how there really should be a documentary movie or whatever done about how very difficult it is to manufacture anything. They brought up a movie about years ago. The movie's Duck Gung Ho. Michael Keaton talked about how they were making cars in America and a Japanese company moves in, takes over, and wants them to build them the Japanese way. And it kind of works, but it kind of doesn't. And there needs to be an amalgamation of cultures in order to succeed, especially when you're trying to make a car in another country and you're using their people to do it. There is good from everybody's culture that could be beneficial to help people find the motivation to work and to help find the inspiration for creativity and all of that stuff. But, you know, Elon basically just went on to talk about how very difficult it is to mass produce anything and have it so that you can make a product that is cost effective for people. I know a lot of people right now are experiencing lower gas prices in their area, and they're like, yeah, but why would I want to buy an electric vehicle? Aren't they made from conflict materials? Yeah. So is almost everything you own. You know that supercomputer phone that you love that you can do everything with and find any piece of information? That's conflict materials right there. You can't say it that it's going to be something that you don't want. I mean, I guess you could say you don't want it, but it's going to be part of our future. Electric vehicles are going to be part of our future. I'm just happy that someone like Elon Musk is involved with it, because he is trying to help move the human race forward. He sees an opportunity for us to learn and an opportunity for us to change policies. And his simple takeover, I say simple, it's not simple, but his simple takeover of Twitter and changing it to X was a huge step forward in communications. And I don't think people fully understand how valuable and important that is, because the company as a whole was starting to be used by factions of our government to only show one side of politics and to completely silence another side. It had become a machine of propaganda And he talks about how he had to look at the information and the importance of the First Amendment, our free speech, and realize in all of that, that the value of free speech is so important that if you don't allow people to say things that you don't agree with, then you're not supporting free speech. You have to allow people to say things that you don't appreciate or don't agree with so that you can have a conversation. Otherwise, you can't say that you're supporting free speech. I'll give you an example. I like Bert Kreischer as a comedian, right? Out there, I'm sure there's people that are like, oh, I hate Bert Kreischer. Okay. If I believe in free speech, I have to allow you to say that. It sort of goes back to the time when I was a young man. In high school, they started having these political protests on television. And these guys were going on television and burning the American flag. And there was a big, I want to say argument, but argument's not even the correct word. It was a big topic of discussion of, is burning the American flag a version of free speech? And as someone who served in the Marine Corps, I can tell you that my belief is that, yes, it is a version of free speech, but it's also very disrespectful. And if you're willing to do something like that, if you are willing to go out into public and burn an American flag, then you should also be willing to take a punch in the face from someone who lost their best friend's life in a conflict, supporting that flag, supporting the ideas of, we're here to do a job and we have this flag and we believe in this flag. And the flag, listen, it's just a flag, okay? But what it represents to a lot of people is the idea of freedom, the idea of sacrifice, the idea of brotherhood. I've heard it said in movies before, oh, are you fighting for your country? Your politicians believe blah, 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 blah. And time and time again, you hear someone say, it's not about them. It's about the guy next to me. It's about the person next to me. I don't want them hurt. I'm going to do everything I can to protect them. Sometimes you see glimpses of it in movies where soldiers are given orders. And sometimes they disobey those orders because they realize, hey, this isn't the right thing to do. All of that is what that flag represents to me. That's why I have one in my garage. But again, it goes back to free speech. Are they allowed to do it? They should be. They should also be allowed to be punched in the face for being disrespectful. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, with Elon taking over Twitter and changing it to X, and then allowing people to openly write whatever, you can write whatever, okay? But you may have consequences. That's free speech. So, it's a very cool podcast. It's a very cool distraction. I liked it. I'm still listening to it, as a matter of fact. Elon brought the Cybertruck in. He talked about how they were testing it to see how strong the panels were. They're going to put out a video where they shot it with a machine gun and the bullets just bounced off. Joe asked him, is it completely bulletproof? And he says, well, sort of. The glass isn't, but you can make it bulletproof. They do make glass that is bulletproof, but the problem is when you get it thick enough to be bulletproof, you can't have them roll down. They have to be fixed glass. But he's like, you know, if you want to upgrade that, then I guess it's something you could do. And Joe asked him about, you know, could he shoot an arrow at it? Would it penetrate the metal? And Elon's like, what are we talking about? And he starts telling them the size of the compound bow he has and the arrow and the grain. And, you know, Joe goes out and hunts elk and bear. And, you know, he's like, I don't know, let's try it. So they go out in the garage and try it. And there's some cute video and photos of Joe shooting this arrow at it. And it basically flattened the front tip of the arrow, and it splintered the it made the head flat, and it splintered the arrow. So pretty cool experiment. I'm so happy that these two guys are alive and doing what they're doing and communicating with the world. And I'm really happy that Joe is so curious and asks lots of questions, and that Elon is so open to talk about whatever. This is truly a fun experience for me to listen to these two guys. So it is episode 2054. It came out on Halloween. So if you want to distract yourself with that, there you go. For me and my wife, we decided that this year we were not going to stand at the door and hand out candy. Instead, we were going to do something with our friends. So we all bought tickets to go see Taylor Swift's movie of her tour called Eras. It's if you haven't heard, Taylor Swift is a billion-dollar music performer, songer, songwriter, producer, whatever you want to call it, all of the above. She is a force in reckoning. Her movie, Eras, is basically a movie of her tour. And if you get the chance to see her on tour, that's awesome. Happy for you. The tickets are crazy expensive from what I hear. The movie that is out right now is 2 hours and 45 minutes long. And I think we paid $13 a ticket, or just over $13 a ticket. And it was worth it. I am not what you would call a Swiftie, which is one of their diehard fans, but I like Taylor Swift. I like the song she does. I know right now there's a lot of people who like football who are like, why are we watching Taylor Swift? Why does anybody care? Okay, so for those guys who have their head in the sand, Taylor Swift is one of the biggest music acts right now. She is in a single person as big as the Beatles, pretty much. Okay. If you're curious about it and you think, oh, her fan base is just all women, 52% are. The other 48 are dudes. So that's straight off of Google. I'm a fan of Taylor Swift. I like her. I think she's good. She's a great musical artist. She's got a great voice. Her songs are good. She's an awesome writer. Yeah. So anyway, we went on Halloween to the movie theater, which was an interesting experience all in itself. And we watched Taylor Swift with about, I don't know, maybe 20 other people in the theater. And it was fun. I had a good time. I will say that when it started off, she played a lot of music that I didn't know. There was about 30 minutes of stuff where I was like, well, this is kind of a cool song. I don't know the song. I've never heard it, but okay. To be fair, I don't really listen to the radio. That's just me. For the last 10 years, I've mostly listened to podcasts. When I get in my truck, I either stream music that I grew up with on usually Lithium, Lithium XM, or I listen to music that's already on my phone that I've purchased, or I listen to podcasts. And when I'm taking a long trip, I definitely listen to podcasts. Mainly because I don't like a lot of the new music that's out today. To me, it all seems so manufactured and timed out with beats per minute and, you know, with the voice syncing and the voice alterations and stuff. It's just not for me. Okay. This Eras Tour movie came out on October 13th. It's an interesting fact because Taylor Swift's birthday is on the 13th, and she's got a tattoo of 13. She talks about how her birthday is on a lot of times on Friday the 13th. It's been her lucky number. Her first album went gold in 13 weeks. So, you know, it's kind of a big deal for her. And so she released this October 13th, which is a smart idea. My wife went to see it with her friends when it first came out, and she liked it so much. She's like, we need to go see it again. And I was like, okay. So she talked me into going, and I talked Lori's husband, Danny, into going. And we went with Cheryl, and all of us sat up in the theater and watched it. And it was a great time. There was some interesting backdrop stuff going on. They changed costumes. They had a stage that was fully interactive. I heard the stage cost like $120 million. And she has two of them. She has to, because there's so much going on with the graphics on the ground and the smoke and the fireworks and the digital designs and things that happen as she's moving, and parts of it move and open and raise and stuff like that. It's very interactive with the show. But you figure one has to be working while she's there, and then they have to have another one that they tear down and set up somewhere else so that she can just go from set to set to set, and the stage is always ready to go. So I learned that back in watching Contact. When you get the money to make one, go ahead and make two, right? Because you're always going to need a backup. And this is a great reason for that. I like the visual effects. I like the dancing. I like the costume changes. I like the play that she put on during part of it. There was one song I didn't even know, and it had a thing with her setting a table, and then she's singing to this guy, and it's supposed to represent some relationship that she had with somebody. And I didn't know it, but after she got done, I felt like I was going to cry. I was like, oh my God, this is so good. It was great. I had a good time. I clicked on the Google information just to see if there was anything else coming from it. It says that in total from this tour, she could bring in nearly $4.1 billion. It is the most lucrative concert tour in the U.S. history. It's kind of crazy. So, yeah, Taylor Swift is an empire. Good for her. She takes care of her people. I'm sure people have heard about her freely paying lots of her people extra money. Says that she's paid over $50 million of her own money to bonuses to support staff during this stuff going on. She apparently gave all of her trucking staff an additional $100,000. This is on Google. I'm just reading this right now. Yeah. It's crazy. Good for her. I'm proud of her. Good job. Now, listen, I'll be honest. I'm sitting in the crowd. I'm listening to the stuff. I'm having a good time. I know most of the songs, but not all of the songs. There are some songs where I feel like I'm learning another language. I'm like, what's the words? Okay, yeah, fun. But she gets to the acoustic set. She starts playing the guitar, and right away I know it's the first one that I heard on the radio. Our song is a slam screen doors, sneaking out late, talking on my window. I love that song. When it came out, I was like, oh, I love this song. I love it. I started singing along, and I hear over the corner one of my friends go, you're such a dork. Yes, I am. Yes. Yes, I am. Embrace your inner dorkdom. Do it. That's where the fun is. Yeah. Okay. So that's a distraction, a fun distraction. Here's another one. I wanted to get into the Halloween spirit, and I talked about watching some scary movies. Talked about trying to find something that could captivate me and keep me interested. But also, I don't like scary movies. Like, scary movies freak me out. They really freak me out. And I have a hard time, I guess because of my imagination, I have a hard time disconnecting to go to sleep, because then I dream about the stuff that I've watched. But there was a show on Netflix that a friend of my wife's, a friend guy that I was that I know, he was in the Marine Corps. He made a comment to her. He goes, "Hey, I know Josh likes to watch a lot of cool stuff. Has he watched this show? It's really great." And so she asked me about it. It's called The Fall of the House of Usher. And I clicked on it. And I was like, okay, well, what is this? Supposedly, it's based on the writings of Edgar Allan Poe in a modern-day setting. So here's what the Google says, all right, as a rundown. Siblings Roderick and Madeline Usher have built a pharmaceutical company into an empire of wealth, privilege, and power. However, secrets come to life when the heirs of the Ushers start the Usher dynasty start dying. So the cast is incredible. The writing is even more incredible. The special effects are incredible. Everything about this is pretty incredible. I was blown away. It's like 8 episodes. I thought, well, I'll just watch this first episode. I'm sure I won't get interested. And I'll be like, yeah, yeah, it was okay. Right off the bat, I recognized Mark Hamill's in it. Luke Skywalker, man. But he's great. Like, he's this lawyer who knows everything, and he's very powerful and very in control. And it's a really great role for him. The main character, Bruce Greenwood, plays Roderick Usher. He is captivating. When he's on screen, you can't take your eyes off of him. Everybody's like that. There's a woman who, I don't know if she's supposed to be the devil or if she's the crow or if she's, death itself. Her name is Carla, Gugino. Gugino. I don't know. It says her name is Vima. Anyway, you never hear anybody call her by a name, but she's been in a lot of things. She looks like she could be the girl next door, but that she also might kill you. So she's captivating on screen. You can't, all of these characters are so interesting in their own way. It's almost like they told the whole cast, be the most eccentric you, and the camera can't take their eyes off of you. I mean, the casting for this is amazing. Carl Lumbly plays Augustine Dupin. He's supposed to be a district attorney. Basically, the show starts off with him and Roderick Usher sitting down discussing how Roderick Usher is going to confess for crimes. And he's in a creepy house and he's drinking and he offers Mr. Dupin something to drink. And it's the almost the setting of Telltale Heart. Of them sitting in the living room. I remember reading this as a kid, and he's wanting to confess of what happened. And in it, he's like, you know, but you've always been my friend, and I want to tell you because it's important, because you were right. And there's a lot to discuss. Meanwhile, he's seeing the ghosts of his dead children, and they're haunting him as the story goes on, because he's so full of himself that he's trying to bolster his image, and the ghosts of his dead children are reminding him to be honest. And it's just incredible. There is extreme violence. There's gore. There's frightening moments, but it's not a horror movie. It's more suspenseful than anything. But yeah, it's incredible. The House of the Fall of Usher. Great job, guys. Just amazing show. Just amazing. I got a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, yeah. Check it out. If you're into that kind of thing, check it out. It's a great distraction. Here's another great distraction. I watched this last night because I'm a super fan. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I've done a full review on this before. I'm still just amazed at how good this is. It's on Netflix right now. It has a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. Here's the rundown. After reuniting with Gwen Stacy, Brooklyn's full-time friendly neighborhood Spider-Man is catapulted across the multiverse, where he encounters a team of spider people charged with protecting its very existence. However, when the heroes clash on how to handle the new threat, Miles finds himself pitted against the other spiders. He must soon redefine what it means to be a hero so that he can save the people he loves most. Now, for those of you who don't know, Miles Morales is quite the Spider-Man. It's pretty fantastic. I watched the first Spider-Verse with my brother years ago when it came out, and immediately we were both like, I don't know, it's a cartoon, it's supposed to be good. And as soon as it was over, we were like, holy crap, that was so amazing. It doesn't take long to realize why some stories are better told through animation than they are with live actors. This does a really interesting job of being animated, but looking so realistic that when something looks animated next to it, your immediate thought is, oh, wow, they blended like live actors with this other. No, it's all animated. It's just some of it's drawn purposely to look more animated than the very realistic version of what we're seeing. It is amazing. I know that right now there's a lot of talk about Loki breaking the sacred timeline and, well, basically Sylvie did, but whatever. They're the same person. How the multiverse is being used in a lot of different stories, and everybody's doing it very well right now. If you're not watching Loki, you're really missing out. Season 2 is out. At the end of season 2, there was a huge cliffhanger. Not the end of season 2. The end of episode 4 of season 2. With 2 episodes left, it left on a cliffhanger, left me just with my jaw on the ground. Like, what just happened? And then they spring back with a new idea of how everything can come full circle and how there is opportunities that you don't see coming. And for the writers who are doing this work, I am impressed. I am thankful with everything that's happening in the world. I am truly in awe and grateful that I have this as a distraction. So thank you. You're doing an amazing job. All the actors portraying these people, all the special effects folks, just, it's amazing. The unraveling of the people into spaghetti. Wow. Wow. That's all I can say. Wow. So that's it. That's all I want to talk about. I wanted to mention the Marine Corps birthday. Veterans Day is on the 11th. So, you know, you got the Marine Corps birthday on the 10th, Veterans Day on the 11th. If you have a veteran in your family, thank them. Thank them for their service. Somebody asked me, they said, what did you learn? What is the number one thing that you learned while being in the service? And I told them that I learned that I can do so much, but we can do immeasurably more. We all have it within ourselves to be great. Chester Nimitz said, uncommon valor is a common virtue, which basically means that anybody can become a hero. When time comes, everybody has it within themselves to do the right thing, to stand up, to take action. But some people need a push. Some people need structure. Some people need a direction. And I got all of that. It was good for me. But the biggest thing that I learned is with like-minded people, we can do so much more. So do that. Find some like-minded people. Have a direction. Do more. That's it. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd enjoyed this, if you want to be a part of it, let me know. I'd love to have you on. We could talk about anything. Yeah. Y'all take care. If you watch Fall of the House of Usher, or if you see Taylor Swift's Eras, or Across the Spider-Verse, or any of that stuff, you want to talk about it, hit me up. I'm really enjoying Loki. There's only one episode left of this season, and they got a lot to do, so should be fun to watch. Y'all take care. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, share this with your friends. And as always, cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Moo, baby.